Now, Paul is writing to these precious saints of God, and he's talking to them about work. He's making it very clear to these precious men and women of God that God has something to say about your life and about your work, about our lives and our work. Now, let me draw just a little bit of a background as to what is going on. In the days of Paul, many of them had heard Paul preach about the coming of Christ. You know, you might be living, and I might be living in the age and time in which Jesus Christ actually comes again. There's a lot of people that don't believe it, but the Bible makes it very clear. There's going to be an age alive in which Jesus Christ will come again. We could very well be that age in that time. Well, there were some in Paul's day and time. They really thought they were that generation, but here's what had happened. Some of them had quit their jobs, and some had just started waiting for the coming of the Lord, and some had started ministering to others, but here's what happened. They didn't have a means of income, and so the end result was they didn't have a means of income. They couldn't provide for their families, so they were going to other individuals and in a sense sort of sponging off of them so they could live their life. Well, God has something very serious and very sobering to say to you and to me, to every one of us, whether you're a young person or an old person, about work. Do you realize that it's a serious and dangerous thing in the sight of God for you to be lazy? It is a very serious thing in the sight of Holy God for you and me to live our lives in a lazy, slothful manner. And whenever Paul is talking to these precious saints, he's making it very clear that they have some commands from God regarding work. Whether a person does or does not work does not change the fact that he's been given a directive by God. And you know, sometimes when we're given a directive by maybe a parent and by somebody in school or whatever, we may not want to do that, but it always comes back to haunt us and come back to hurt us and in a way that we don't like. And you've heard me tell you the story one time years ago when I was just a boy, my dad gave me an assignment. The church where my dad pastored, they had just built an addition, and there was a brick pile that needed to be moved. And my dad wrote me a note. He had gone out visiting, and he said, "Benny, need you to move the brick pile and move it out of the yard and move it," and he told me where to put it. Well, I got home from school, and like any other young boy, I wanted to play football. And I went inside. I saw that little note, and I took inventory of that note. I read that note, and I ignored that note. And so I went outside to play football, had a good time. I don't know if my team won or not, but having a good time, and all of a sudden, something horrible happened. My dad drove up the driveway. Well, when Dad drove up the driveway, he got out, and I saw him go in the house, and I wasn't really too worried then. And then in just a few minutes, he said, "Benny, come here." And that petrified me because I knew judgment day was at hand. Because I knew my dad had given me a directive. I knew what it was he told me to do. But I knew that I had deliberately rejected doing what he told me to do. And there was accountability. Now, I think he probably just told me to move it. And he just probably gave me a serious talking to. But it could have been far worse. I say all that to say this. Every one of us that's saved by the grace of God, every person, God has given us a directive in regard to work. And I want you to listen very carefully in this particular passage because God makes it very clear, abundantly clear, what he expects out of our lives and also what happens when a person does not work. Well, first and foremost, look at number one. God commands us to withdraw from those who are disorderly and do not work. Do you realize what Paul said? He said, "Now I command you, brethren," in other words, "I say to you, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from that person who's disorderly." What in the world is Paul talking about? Well, the Bible makes it clear when looking at that, there were some that were not given to work. There's some that didn't want to work for one reason or the other. And there are those today in our time that don't want to work for one reason or the other. And it is a grievous sin in the sight of the Father when an individual will not and does not want to work, and Paul made it very clear, if you find a person that does not want to work and is disorderly in their life, you withdraw from them. Really, the word withdraw means you are not to associate with that person that is lazy, that is slothful. And in the days of these early saints, many of them, as I said, they were excited about the Lord's return. Some quit their jobs and failing to provide for their family, failing to provide for their children. And Paul made it very clear in another passage, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. And he's talking to the saints of God. But he said, God gives you and me a directive, first of all, that we're to work, but he also reminds us that if we are around someone that is given to laziness or slothfulness, he says, we're not to associate with them. And you see the results of certain believers in that day and time, like I'm sure you don't know anybody that sponges off anybody. I'm sure there's nobody in your family or nobody you know that sponges off of anybody. But Paul made it very clear. He said, if you see somebody that is that type of person and personality, you are not to have anything to do with him. Why? Because it's a directive from Holy God. What would happen if our land was filled with men and women that wanted to work? You know, there are a lot of men, a lot of women who do want to work. Now, qualify that. There's an abundance of people like that, and you're one of them. You know, you get up early in the morning, you get ready, and you go to your job, and at the end of your week, you get that wonderful huge check, don't you? That's been cut about 50%, and part of that, well, we won't go into that. But, you know, a godly working parent is a legacy and is a heritage to his child or children. You see, the more godly a person is found, the more obedient they are to a deep work ethic. And Paul makes it very clear. If you'll follow along, he says, you know how you ought to follow us. You see, you and I are redeemed from God. We're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is the one. Listen, think about this. You're a child of God. You're saved by the grace of God. If you're a Christian, and if you're not saved, then you can't say that. But you know when you leave this world, when you die, you're going to paradise, you're going to heaven, you're going to be with Christ. Think about having a lazy lifestyle after all Jesus has done for us. And yet there's a myriad of individuals out there who name the name of Jesus, and they're lazy and they're slothful. And, for a person to quit work and to have a lazy work ethic is an affront to the character of God. You know, he's created you and me with the ability to work, the desire to work, the energy to work, the ambition to work, and to be rewarded for our work. You know, you're not just going to be rewarded for work now. The Bible says you're going to be rewarded for work in eternity. Can you imagine what a lazy Christian is going to get in eternity? I can't, because it's not going to be much. If there's a lazy Christian on this side of eternity, don't expect for God to give you something on the other side of eternity. That's what Scripture says. And a believer that refuses to work is unacceptable before the Father. You see some people and you say, I wonder why they're having such a hard time in their life. Ask this question, are they workers? There's a lot of people that can't make ends meet, and one of the reasons is laziness. They're slothful. They won't hold down a job. You know, and the sad part about it is, you know, there's a number of them that name the name of Jesus. And sometimes they may come to you and they say, would you just pray for me that I get a good job? I never will forget being in Russia a few years ago in Moscow. And as I was walking into the McDonald's in Moscow, there was something very interesting that just sort of stuck in my mind's eye. I looked across, and it wasn't kids that were waiting on you. It wasn't teenagers that was waiting on me. It was moms and dads. It was people about my age. You know what they call a job in a McDonald's in Russia? They call it a good job. The average wage in Russia is about $140 a month. And you see, Paul is making it very clear in this one passage of Scripture. You know, laziness may be acceptable before unbelievers, but Paul makes it very clear that it is not acceptable before the God that created you and me. You know, there is nothing wrong with having money. And there is nothing wrong with having a lot of money. And sometimes you look at somebody and say, man, I wish I had money. Well, you know, God's given us the ability to work and the ability to labor and the ability to save. I guarantee you, if you work, you labor, and you save, you will have money. Now, you know, the government may take their portion, and there's, you know, fair right for you and me living in this land. But Paul makes it very clear that when a person is not going to work, that you and I, listen, we're to withdraw from them. That is sobering. Why are you and I to withdraw from a person that's an idle worker? Well, you know, Paul makes it very clear. First of all, they're rebelling against the very word of God. And, you know, you stop along the side of the road and you see some of these fellas that men and women alike, and they're parked there for the day, and you stop at the red light, and they have a sign up, and it says, "We'll work for food." No, they won't. And sometimes you have, and I have too, I've reached into my pocket, and I've picked out a little money, and I've given it to them. The Father's taught me a great lesson. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. And I pray this sinks in your heart and your spirit. God nowhere endorses rebellion. Amen? And He never endorses laziness. If that person can stand on the side of the road and hold up that sign and work on your sentiment and my sentiment and get you to give him a few dollars, that is endorsing laziness. You ought not do it. Now, I've heard some people say now, well, now, you just don't know. God could have put them down here. They could be an angel from heaven, and God could have put them on the side of the road to see what I'm going to do. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I want you to listen. No, they're not. And I'll tell you why. I want you to listen. God will never put an angel down here to do something that violates His very word. You hear me? God would never put an angel in human form to practice laziness that is forbidden by Him. And sometimes we'll say, well, you know, they may be an angel. No, they're not. They're just a human being that they're slothful, they're lazy, and not, you know, there may be some that are down on their luck, but a person like that will do so. And Paul makes it very clear. They're rebelling against the very word of God. And when you and I participate in that, that's why sometimes it's not easy to be bold with our friends. You know, you've got a friend say, I'm just down on my luck. I said, well, have you tried to get a job? No, I can't find a job anywhere. They're not trying. Listen, a person who has a heart to work, a willingness to work, you'll find a job. Never will forget when I think I was about 14, 15 years old. I wanted some money. I wanted some cash to put in my wallet. Even if it wasn't much, I wanted something that was mine. My dad helped get me a job. Boy, it's a real high-class job, too. Working down at the local grocery store, putting up pop bottles. I never will forget, I think I got $2.38 an hour. And the boss came back, and he said, he was a man that went to church, and he said, Benny, here's what I want you to do. You see all these pop bottles? And by the way, that was the day you remember you bought everything in pop bottles. And I said, now I want you to separate them. This company's going to come in and pick theirs up, and this company said, now, I want you to come in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I made big money. I made about $25 a week. But you know what? Dad didn't hand it out to me. Now, listen very carefully. Paul makes it very clear. It is the command of God. It's not just this nice thinking. It is it's a command of God. Look back in Scripture real carefully. Look at what it says in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly. Why? Teach them that it's a sin to be lazy. You know, not only are our idle workers or people that you and I are to withdraw because it's rebellious, but idle workers really and truly have a good example if they'll look at enough people. You know, Paul said, I labor, I work night and day. They can look at my life and know that it's not the norm to be lazy. And there's absolutely no excuse for a saint of God being disorderly at his work. I say this, and I say this to young, and I say this to, there is no excuse for you and me to be lazy. Amen? There's no excuse. Now, yes, we get tired. Yes, we get worn out. But there's a difference. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking a day off, and you work hard, and, you know, you earn a day off. Paul makes it very clear. You know, idle worker, you know, they've got others to look at. Paul said, you look at my life. And there's no excuse for a saint of God. And the sad part about it is there's going to be a lot of people die. They're going to enter heaven, saved, yes. Going to heaven, yes. They have the eternal life of Jesus Christ on the inside of them. And they're going to wonder what God's got in store for them. Nothing. Why? You can't be lazy and God honor your life. I think about people down through the years that I've known, saved by the grace of God, but they wouldn't do anything to serve the Lord. And they walk out of this life. What are they going to get? Nothing. You know, there's absolutely no excuse for a saint of God to be lazy. And you see, Paul makes it very clear. When Christ comes and evaluates your work and my work, we can give every so-called excuse and every so-called reason, but a lot of them will just go up in flames in his presence. And another reason that he gives, and I want you to follow along, it's through work that you earn the right to eat. If you look in verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Wouldn't that be a unique motivation in our day and time? Said, you know what? If you don't work, you don't eat. Well, Paul said, it's through work that you earn the right to eat. Look how far we've gravitated in 2,000 years. $4 trillion in debt. And I think about what our young people will have, and you do too, when we walk off the scenes. I think for every young person, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that... But Paul makes it very clear. It's a command from the Father. If any don't work, don't let him eat. You know, God is very serious about work. And it's not all right before God to sponge off of others. And let me say this to adults as well. It's not all right to sponge off of somebody. Doesn't matter if it's your parents or not your parents. Before holy God, it is not all right. It's not all right to sponge off. And you see some of these talk shows where this son is living with the parents and parents pay all the bills and do all of this and do all of that. Listen, it's not all right before holy God. It's not all right to do that. And the sobering reality of it is, you know, they don't learn a deep abiding work ethic and they miss out on the joys of the rewards of it. You remember when you first got your first full-time job. Maybe each one of us, you remember you got your first full-time job and at the end of maybe a week, 2 weeks or whatever, you got a check and it had your name on it. And of course, you may have said something like this, it's my check, I can spend it any way I want to. Well, not really, because, you know, the tithe of it is the Lord's and he wants you to honor him with all of it, how you spend it. But there was that wonderful gift, there was that satisfaction that you had earned this, you had worked for this. And Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he makes it very clear. There's no excuse by the Father when a person is lazy or slothful. And ultimately, it's a command of God. It's one thing to have a command from somebody else. It's another thing for it to be a command of God. Because listen to me very carefully. Every command that I'm given by God, he remembers. Every command that he knows he gave me, he remembers that he gave me, and he knows I remember. Every command that the Father gives you and me, and you see, it's the Lord God that has the right to direct us. And think about it. You know, we're in a mess in our land because there's so much slothfulness and laziness. But the command of Scripture is if you... a born-again believer, you name the name of Christ. There's somebody lazy that you continually associate with. The Father gives you a directive, gives me a directive. Be very careful, don't associate with them. withdraw. There's something about laziness that has a way of etching itself. Never will forget, used to work for human resources some years ago, and people would come in and apply for assistance. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, because there are many, 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 many situations in life. But when a parent teaches that as a way of life, when a parent teaches that this is how you live your life, it destroys initiative. And Scripture makes it very clear. You know, God commands work. You know, look in verse 12 and 13. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The word of God through Paul and through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ was simply this. Everybody in the church is to work. Every able-bodied man, woman, and young person is to work. You're to be faithful. If you're a young person, you're to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him and following Him and doing what He tells you to do. You know, there's no sidestepping this divine truth that God gives you and me. And for every believer, it's required, the Bible says, that they be found faithful. Think about this. You're at the edge of your life, you're at the end of your life, and you blew it. You somehow tried to sidestep work and faithfulness, and you realize it's all over. It's about ready to be over. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, it's God that's established societies. He's established men and women to work. He's established boys and girls to do their part. Now, there was a time, and back before my generation, I can remember my mother saying she was keeping house at the age of 17. Well, she was married at the age of 17. She could cook and sew and do all those things, and some of you ladies can identify with that. She could can, and it was the way of life. But the bottom line was work. There is something that is happening in the fiber of so many individuals. They're not learning to work. And the bottom line is, it still don't erase accountability. If a man doesn't work, if a woman doesn't work, and they're a born-again believer, God won't make you work. God won't make a man work. He won't make a woman work, but here's what He won't do. He will not bless a lazy life. Find a lazy person and see if you have them, find them having success. You can't find a lazy person having success unless they've got money from their mom and their dad or their grandparents. You won't find them. A lazy person, you'll not find being successful. Why? Because they don't have the blessing of God. Imagine walking through your life and not having the blessing of God on your life. But, when the Lord comes, the Bible says that He's going to, evaluate. In Matthew chapter 25, you can turn there, look at it in your outline. You know, it talks about some individuals who had talents. They were given talents by their master, and then the master went away. This is a good parable because it shows the reality of what the Father's given us. A lot of similar scenario. The master has given you something to honor your life with. He's gone away. Jesus has gone away, and He's watching what you do with your life. And then, in just a little while, He's going to come back, and He's going to take inventory. Watch carefully in this passage of Scripture. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord, or master, answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take for the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Imagine this, you having a massive amount of resources, and you have 3 people you give them to. You give one this much, another one this much, and you give another one just this much. But it's yours that you give to them. It's not theirs, it's yours. And you tell all 3 of them, men, I'm going to leave, I'm going out of the country, but when I come back, I'm going to evaluate your life. And the one takes his master at his word, and he puts the money to use, and he's gone away. Maybe gone for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. There is something about the fact that Jesus Christ has been gone for so long that somehow we don't think he's going to come back and evaluate our life. He's going to evaluate every man, woman, boy, and girl's life. If a child is 15 years old and they've been saved for, you know, 3 or 4 years, what he's enabled them to do in just those 3 years, he'll evaluate in love and grace. But after that number of years, finally he hops on a jet and he comes back and he looks at these three men. And this one man that he didn't give as much to, he just sort of dilly-dallied around with his life and his time. That's where a lot of Christians are today. Oh, they're dilly-dallying with their life. God's not really going to come back. Jesus isn't really going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back and evaluate Benny Bush's life. He's going to evaluate, what did I do with my time? What did I do with my energy? What did I do with my resources? What did I do with the work? And he's going to evaluate every single thing about Benny Bush's life. The Bible says that he looked at this one man and he said, "You wicked servant." Now, here's what we think in this passage. We think, well, this man is a lost man and he's going to hell. It doesn't say that in the passage at all. The Bible says that this man had a relationship. He was a servant to the master. And he was put there to serve. Listen, it is going to be a sobering, saddening, and shocking day in the judgment of Christ, because there's just going to be a lot of people who thought, well, I just don't think Jesus is going to come. They're lazy and they won't do the work of God. And he's going to strip them, and there's going to be a holy hush over their life, because they're going to realize that they're stood in the presence of Jesus with a wasted life. It is horrible to think to live the one life you've got wasted. Wasted and not working. Not giving your life. And I look back over the years of the churches that I've pastored, and I think, Lord, it's always the faithful few. There's a lot of people in every church that name the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. But why do the masses not work? Why do the masses not work? Don't you dare think that Jesus is overlooking. Don't you dare think that Jesus isn't watching your life. And you see, the Bible says, when he came and saw this one servant, listen to his indictment. Thou wicked and slothful servant. You know what he's saying? You wicked and lazy servant. Can you imagine the indictment of Christ? You wicked and lazy believer. There aren't none, are there? Oh. But here's the reality. You and I know that that's the truth of the Word of God, don't we? I remember as a boy, my mom and dad told me, said, son, it's time for you to start doing your responsibility around the Lord's house. At the age of 15, I was teaching a Sunday school class. You talking about an education. I was highly educated at the age of 15. Put me in a class of junior boys. I always loved those that were younger than me until I had to start teaching. They challenged me. I never will forget one little boy by the name of Brad. He looked at me and he said, Benny, I was just 15, mind you. He said, did any fish go into the ark? Now, I was just young. Now, I know you know the answer. You're educated. You have that. And did God put any fish in the ark? And just some other interesting. But the bottom line is this. God honors those who try. You know, he looked at these other servants. You say, well, I don't have a lot to give to the Lord. He didn't say you had to be the best of the best of the best. Just give it your best. You know, some of you, you're gifted to make a joyful noise. Some of you are gifted in teaching. Some of you, God's, listen, You don't want the indictment of the Father over your life. You lazy, slothful believer. I can't imagine hearing that commendation. But you know, here's the sobering truth, and I want you to listen. There will be that commendation to many. There'll be that commendation of sadness when they think, you know, they was around for the good times. They was around for the easy times. But they heard no word because of their life. Listen, to be given the command to work and refuse to work is serious. You know, it's of utmost serious. Because think about this. How much of the Bible would you not know if somebody hadn't taught you in Sunday school? How much wouldn't you know if somebody hadn't taught you in vacation Bible school? How much wouldn't you know if somebody else hadn't given their life? You see, you know, when you and I work, it's of utmost importance. You know, Paul says it's a big matter to the Father that you and I work. Think about this. You have the book of Thessalonians to read, and I do too, because one man, faithful to the Lord Jesus, under the inspiration of the Spirit, penned it. And, you know, Scripture makes it very clear that you and I are called by the Father to work. You know, every one of us need to ask this question. Lord, is there any laziness in me? Now, understand this. We live in a society that condones it. We live in a society that endorses it, embraces it. Do as little you can, get as much as you can out of it. But you remember this. You and I will die and we'll stand in His presence. And He'll give account. We'll give accountability. Give accountability for our life. Give accountability for our work and our labor. And you see, can you imagine living your life as an embarrassment? Could you imagine your parent coming into your presence, and maybe there's a whole bunch of friends around you, and your parent walking up to you and saying these words, "I'm so embarrassed at your life." I can't imagine being in the presence of Jesus and others around and Him looking at me and saying, "Benny, I'm embarrassed by your life." What a horrible, horrible thought. That's why Paul says, you've got one life to labor. You've got one life to work. You've got one life to give unto the Lord. And you know what? After this life is over, people will remember. Oh, so many that I remember their labor in the Lord. And their labor was genuine. And you know what? The Father will honor everything you do. Not as an adult only, but as a young person. Young person, you're trying to serve the Lord with all of your heart. You're trying to labor for the Lord at school, and you're trying to labor for the Lord wherever you are. Listen, don't you dare ever forget that whatever you do in His name and for His honor, all that it's going to be rewarded. He's going to richly reward you for that labor you give to Him, for that labor in the Lord. Well, one question in closing. Does the Father find you a willing worker or a reluctant worker? Can He reward you, or will there be an indictment over our lives? Father, this is a very heart-wrenching message, because sometimes we don't even want to hear the word work in our society anymore. But, Father, the truth is we're not where we are without those that haven't worked tirelessly, giving of themselves for the cause of Christ. Father, I think about the land we live in and the forefathers that we're blessed with and those that have paved the path through hard work. And, Father, to think how You have blessed us. But Father, your commands are the same to every person, young and old alike, regarding work. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we'll be mindful that you'll judge us. Someday, you'll call every single one of us into account. And we'll be judged according to our work in this world. Lazy person don't want to hear it. Don't want to think about it. But it doesn't matter. You have the final say. For you and you alone are God. Precious Holy Spirit, I just ask you to drive the truths of this Bible study to each of our hearts and remind us that as we work in the Lord, you don't forget. You don't forget that person who gives of themselves tirelessly, effortlessly. And you will come someday and reward them so richly beyond their wildest dream or imagination. And that reward will last for all of eternity. That's your word. Father, thank you for saving us. Father, I pray for that person who's here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Lord, if they died tonight, they'd be separated from you. Oh, dear Jesus, I pray that they would come to know you by grace through faith, and that they'd be willing to pray the simple sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. And Lord, you'd save them just like that if they meant business with you. Father, dismiss us. Guide us through this week to serve you and to work for you. In Jesus, I pray.